What are we up to? Ah, okay. All right. Givaldi. Okay. And what's tomorrow? Oh, okay. Okay, beseder. I have to sell my chometz. I'll find somebody to buy it. Time is it? I don't know. Maybe I'll record this in two sittings. I have to, because it's getting close to Pesach, and I don't want to have to throw out all my chometz. Hopefully that guy will be there. I don't even know who it is. I have to go to the place and ask who's the guy to sell my chometz to. Hopefully I'll find him. I got the sun stark on my face. All right, well, how are you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're sending Daf Nun Vav, Daf 56 of Masechet Bava Metzia. Friends, your friends. So, what are we doing? Okay, so we have like a whole bunch on Daf Nun Hey, to do. Okay, so we'll do it. And then, all right, so like two Mishnahs today, and all right, here we go. So we start on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Chamisha Chomshin Hain. There are five Chomishes. Elu Hain. And these are them. Now we're going to list like a lot more than five, but like they're like five groups sort of Chomishes. Here's the first group. Ha'ochel Truma. If you eat Truma by accident, then you have to pay it back plus a Chomish. V'Trumas Meiser. So, right, when you give Meiser to a Levi, and the Levi takes 10%, and he gives that to the Kohen, that's Truma. That is the status of Truma. And so if you eat that by accident, you have to add a chomesh when you pay it back, when you replace it. Mitrumas meiser shel demai. Also demai, right? You're not sure if the Amoritz had separated meiser or not. So you separate your own meiser and then give that to the Levi. And the Levi separates trumas meiser all out of suffix. So that also you have to add a chomesh if you accidentally eat trumas meiser of demai. Ve'achala, if you accidentally eat chala, because chala is also called the truma, right? What was it? Is that what it is? Something like that. Does Rashi say? I don't know. I think that's what it is. Did it say? Chala terimu truma. Yeah, reishis arisu seichem chala terimu truma. I think that's what it is. Yeah, bikurim, and also bikurim, because that's the thing it said, I think that's utrumas yodcho. Or maybe trumas yodecho. Anyways, that's bikurim. So all of these things are like truma things, and if you eat them by accident, so you have to add a chomesh. Okay, so that's one category. Most of chomesh. Vapode netaravai. Also, somebody who redeems netaravai. Netaravai is if you have Orla, right? You have a fruit tree, so the first 3 years it's Orla. And the fourth year, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. But if you don't want to schlep it to Yerushalayim, you could redeem it with money, and you add a chomesh. U'maiser sheni shelo, and similarly, if you're being poda maiser sheni, as we know, you have to add a chomesh. Mosif chomesh, so you add a chomesh. That is category number two. Next, hapoda es hekdesho. If you are maktish something, and then you are poda it, so you add a chomesh. Oichit, mosif chomesh. Anene shove putim in a hektish, mosif chomesh. Right? If meila, if you get hanoah from hektish, so then when you pay back, you know, for the value that you gain, so you add a chomesh. Va'gozel es chaveru shove putim v'nishbalo, mosif chomesh. And also, of course, somebody who steals from his friend and swears that he didn't steal, then admits that he did steal, so then he pays it back plus a chomesh. All right, fine. Says the Gemara, oh my Rav, says Rav Kasha le the Rav Elazar. The Rav Elazar had a Kasha. Trumas Meiser Shel Demai. That Rav Elazar didn't understand. How come Trumas Meiser of Demai, you have to add a Chomesh? After all, Demai is only Midor Abonin, right? Right? Midor Raisa, you can assume that they separated Meiser. Right? We've said in other places, Rav Ami Aritz Ma'asunheim. And therefore, you know, really, it's just the rabbanon say, you know what? If it's an ama aretz, just out of extra safety, an abundance of caution, separate your own meiser. But if somebody accidentally then eats Trumas Meiser of Demai, do we go so far as to say that he would have to add a Chomesh? It's not just enough to kind of replace it. What did the Chachamim fortify their words by making them exactly like Dinim De'oraisa, right? Of course, if you eat Trumas Meiser Mi De'oraisa, so then of course you would, you know, not just replace what you ate, but you would add a Chomesh. But here there's Trumas Meiser De'rabanan. We go so far as to say that you have to add a Chomesh there as well by De'rabanan. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Amani Rav Meir, this is Rav Meir De'Amar, who says, also Chachamim Chizik the Devarim Kishel Torah, that the Chachamim do in fact fortify their Dinim De'rabanan in the same way as if they were Midoraisa. The Tanya is within a Braisa. Maybe get Medina Sayom or Gittin. Somebody who brings a messenger who brings a get from overseas to Eretz Yisrael. Nosno lovelo amala b'faninichtum b'faninichtum. Ho ho. If when he gives it to her, he neglects to say b'faninichtum b'faninichtum. Now, of course, we know from Mesechta Gittin, when you bring a get from Medina Sayom, you have to say b'faninichtum b'faninichtum. So Yotziv Vlad Mamzer Divra Meir, ho ho. Rav Meir says, well, you messed up. And if this woman now gets remarried on the basis of this get, big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. The marriage must be dissolved and she's treated like an Ashes Ish and the child is a Mamzer. Big, big trouble. Because you didn't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam. V'chacham omim. The Chacham say, "Ain of Vlad Mamzer." The Chacham says, no, don't, that's a little bit far. No, the child is not a Mamzer. Kate said, "Yai said, what do you do to remedy the situation? Yitlenu mimena, take the get back from her. V'yachzov yitnenela, and then just give it to her nochamol. And this time, b'fnei shnayim, in front of two people, v'yomer lo b'fnei nichtav b'fnei nechtam. And this time, make sure to say b'fnei nichtav b'fnei nechtam. Don't worry, you know, not all is not lost. U'le'rav Meir mishum d'lo'amer lo b'fnei nichtav b'fnei nechtam yotzi v'avlad Mamzer." And Reb Meir says that just because he didn't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam, meaning the get is a kosher get, he just didn't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam. For that reason, she's considered an Eishes Ish, and the child is a mamzer because he didn't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam, even though at the end of the day, it was a completely kosher get. That seems a little extreme. Yes, Reb Meir l'tami de Amar, Reb Menuna mishmei de Ula, Omar Hoy Reb Meir. That Reb Meir would say, that anybody who changes one iota from the format that the Chachamim formatted by Gittin, well then, she's considered an Eishes Ish. She cannot remain married to her new husband, and any children that they had are Mamzerim. That when it comes to the Dinim Derabbanan by Gittin, we treat it exactly in the same way as the Oraisas, and if you deviate, it's big trouble. So we see that Reb Meir says, yes, Asu Chacham Chizik LeDivreim Kishal Torah, right? And therefore, to answer your question, Rabbi Lazar, yes, if somebody accidentally eats Trumas Meiser of Demai, they will have to add a Chomesh upon replacement. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Do 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 do. So is it really true that Reb Meir says that by these dinim derabanon we're super strict? Get a hold of this. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asakasha. Michalin also kesef. Al kesef nechoshes. So this is talking about Meiser Sheni of Demai. Okay, so we're talking about Meiser Sheni Derabonon. Okay? Meiser Sheni Derabonon. And it says, Michalin also, they can be Michal the Meiser Sheni of Demai. Kesef al kesef. Silver can be Michaled onto silver. So I guess if you're Michal Meiser Sheni onto silver, you can be mechalit again onto other silver. Nechoshes al nechoshes, copper onto copper, kesef al nechoshes, silver onto copper, v'nechoshes al aperis, and then copper onto fruits. And then says Rav Meir, "V'yachzor v'yifta es ha-peiris," but then you would have to then re-redeem the peiris onto money, divrei Rav Meir. Meaning, says Rav Meir, that you can only buy peiris with Maaser Sheni money in Yerushalayim. If outside of Yerushalayim, you are podet Maaser Sheni money onto fruits, then you would have to then re-redeem them onto money and then bring the money to Yerushalayim. V'chachamum yalu peiris v'yochlu b'Yerushalayim. And Chacham says, no, you could bring those fruits. So I guess if you're mechal Maaser Sheni, I guess like onto money or something, and then you mechal the money onto other fruits, you could bring, according to the Chacham, you could bring those fruits to Yerushalayim and eat them there. Okay, fine. But the point that we're focusing on here is that Rav Meir says that you can be mechalel kesef of Maaser Sheni onto nechoshes. Now this is when we're talking about Maaser Sheni of demai. And listen to what Rav Meir says when we're talking about Maaser Sheni midoraisa. Umimechalinan kesef shal nechoshes al nechoshes. What does Rav Meir really say, that you'd be able to be mechalel kesef onto nechoshes in general? V'otanab, we learn in the Mishnah, selo shel Maaser Sheni v'shal chulin shenisarvu. If you have a selah of Maaser Sheni, right? I guess you repode Maaser Sheni onto a selah, and then that selah gets mixed together with another selah. Now you have two selahs. One is Maaser Sheni, one is chulin. You don't know which one is which. So maybe besela maos. So what you do is you bring some copper. You bring some nechoshes. You bring some copper coins. The Omer, and you say, look, I have two sellers over here. There are two sellers over here. One of them is Maaser Sheni, the other one is Chulin, and I don't know which one is which. So whichever one is the Maaser Sheni seller should be Mechulol onto this copper, onto these copper coins. V'mekomakum sheyeshna seller shel Maaser Sheni, whichever is the Maaser Sheni sela, mechulelas amos alalu, is mechulel on this copper. Uvaris a yofesh aboen. So now, once the two selas, the two silver coins, are no longer, neither one of them is Maaser Sheni, because whichever one was Maaser Sheni, it has been transferred onto the copper. So now, you see which of the two coins is nicer, and then, uvaris a yofesh aboen, mechal lo aleo, and then you transfer the Maaser Sheni from the nechoshes, from the copper, back onto onto the nicer of the two silver sellers. Mipnei she'omer mechalin also kesef al nechoshes midochak. Because we say, look, you could transfer from Maaser Sheni from kesef onto nechoshes if you're in a bind, if you're stuck. For example, in this scenario, you have two coins, you don't know which one is which. So what do? You don't know which one's Maaser Sheni, which one's Chulin. So what do? So you transfer the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni. You say, whichever one is Maaser Sheni, I'm transferring the Kedusha onto the Nechoshes. But then, Lo Sheyikayim Kein, but don't leave the copper with the Kedusha's Maaser Sheni. Ela Shechozum Chalan Al Kesef, that then, he then, transfers the Kedusha's Maaser Sheni from the Nechoshes onto the nicer of the two silver coins. So what do we see? So we say, if you're in a bind, if you're in a difficult situation, so then you can transfer the Maaser Sheni from Kesef to Nechoshes, if you're in a bind. Midochak in, sure, if you're in a bind. Shalom midochak lo, but not if you're not in a bind. You can't just stam transfer Maaser Sheni from Kesef to Nechoshes. And yet, when it came to Demai, Maaser Sheni of Demai, Dirabanon, Rav Meir said that you can transfer kesef to nechoshes. So we see that Rav Meir doesn't, meaning we wanted to say that, yeah, according to Rav Meir, Chacham asu chizik l'dvarim kishal Torah, that the Chachamim would make their gezeiros in the same way as if they were midoraisa. But what do you mean? We see that by Maaser Sheni of Demai, which is derabanan. Rav Meir seems to be saying that you can transfer they can be mechal kesef to nechoshes, even though by regular Maaser Sheni you would not be able to. And the Chacham didn't make their gezerah super duper stringent kishal Torah. So Rav Yosef afapisha mekel Rav Meir bepidyono machmiru ba'achiloso. So Rav Yosef says, well, look, there's a difference between being podeh Maaser Sheni and eating trumas Maaser, right? Meaning our mission is talking about eating Trumas Meiser, and if you eat Trumas Meiser, so then you have to add a fifth. But in terms of being Pode Meiser Sheni of Demai, where you're just kind of redeeming it, you're not eating it, so then you can be lenient, and then Rav Meir would say you could be transfer the from the kesef to the nechoshes by being poda, but by eating it you would be more stringent and say yes, you would have to add a chomesh. We would treat it like the oraisa. Fine. D'tanya, as we learn in a braisa, that will demonstrate that Rav Meir says that by eating we would be more stringent. Loitiru limkor demai el lesiton bilvad, that if a person buys demai from an ama aretz, so of course you need to separate maestris. And if you're going to sell it to somebody else, right? So if you buy maestr sheni, if you buy demai from an ama aretz, right? You buy, well, demai by definition is from an ama aretz, otherwise it wouldn't be demai. So if you buy demai, you would have to separate maestris before selling it to somebody else. However, if you're a wholesaler, that you buy lots and lots of produce, and then you sell it to retailers, so it's understood that a wholesaler is not necessarily going to be separating his own maaser. When you buy in bulk like that, right, and you're selling as a wholesaler, so then, you know, it's not as sort of it's more of on a high level, right? All the details haven't necessarily been worked through at that level. And therefore, the retailers understand that when you buy from a wholesaler, if it's demai, so you're going to have to separate your own maestris, the wholesaler won't be doing that for you, right? So, lo itiru limkor demai el lesiton bavad. Only a wholesaler would be able to sell demai without separating maestris first. But if you're a balabais, then you would have to separate Meiser first before selling it to somebody else. Uvalabai is benkach uvenkach tzorich la'aser divrei Reb Meir. And Reb Meir says, right, that a balabayis, somebody who's not a wholesaler, regardless of how much he's going to be selling to somebody else, he might be selling in bulk to somebody else, but if he's not a wholesaler, he would still have to separate his trumas, his maestris, before selling it to somebody else. So we see that Reb Meir is being stringent. And he's saying so let's go back to it for a second. V'chacham omer, as a chacham say, echad asiton ve'echad balabayis, mochu v'sholech l'chavero, v'nosin lo v'matono, ve'eno choshesh. That, whereas the chacham say, that no, whether it's a wholesaler, or whether it is a balabayis who is selling in bulk, right, meaning, so whether it's a wholesaler, whether it's a balabais who's selling in bulk, you would not need to separate maises, right? Echad asitom echad balabais mocher, you could sell it, v'sholech l'chavero, and send to your friend, v'nosin lo v'matan, and give it as a gift, v'en choshes, you don't have to worry about separating maiser if you're selling it in bulk. So, Reb Meir is being more stringent, and he's saying that, no, a balabais always needs to separate Maestris from Demai, even if he's selling in bulk. And that is because we're concerned that if you sell Maestr Sheni to somebody, then they're going to, if you sell Demai to somebody, then they're going to eat it. And since we're talking about somebody who's going to be eating it, so Reb Meir is stringent and says that you'd have to separate Maestris before selling it to make sure that nobody's going to be eating untied food. So we see that Reb Meir is stringent when it comes to eating. Okay, fine. Masiv Ravina. Ravina asks a kasha. Halukech mina nachtom. A person who buys bread from a baker, from a bakery. Me'aser min, right, and the baker is an ama aretz, so it's demai. So me'aser min achama ala tzonenes, min tzonenes ala chama. So if there's all sorts of bread, some are warm, some are cold. I think that's what it means, warm and cold. Like the fresh bread, I guess, is better, and the cold bread is, I guess, low, you know, not as exciting as the fresh bread. So if you now have to separate maestris from the bread that you bought, so you could separate the if you want, you could separate from the warm bread. If you want, you could separate from the cold bread. It makes no difference. V'afilu midfusim harbe. And this is the chiddush. And even if they're from different molds, right? Meaning you might have a focaccia bread, and then you might have a whole wheat bread, and they, you know, they were made differently. So maybe you'd have to be concerned that they actually came from different bakers. And if they came from different bakers, then things get more complicated. Because, you know, let's say this bakery is selling breads from a few different bakers, and all of them are Am Haaretz's. Some of them separated Maaseris and some of them didn't. Well, this could be tricky, because if you have focaccia and whole wheat bread, and they came from two different bakers, and one of them, they're both Am Haaretz's. One of them separated Maaseris, one of them didn't. And then you're separating, and now you're separating the Maaseris from the focaccia. But if that guy already separated Maaseris, then you didn't have to, which means it's not going to count for the one that does need to be separated, and also vice versa. So you can run into trouble. And nonetheless, we say, "Vafilu midfusim harbe," that even though there are different types of bread, still Reb Meir says you can just separate, you know, from one of the types of bread, and that'll work for all of them. Divrei Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir's opinion. So bishlama minatzunenes alachama. So I understand why Reb Meir says that you could separate Maaseris from the cold bread, and that'll, you know, cover, you know, and you don't have to separate it from the warm bread. Right? Imagine you'd rather keep the warm bread for yourself. And that's fine, it works, because Rabbi Eli, like Rabbi Eli, Dam Rabbi Eli, Minayin the Torah, Minayin Ra'a La Yofa, Shetruma So Truma. How do we know that if somebody separates Truma from the bad stuff, and that'll be the Truma, and therefore you don't need to separate from the good stuff, because you already separated Truma for it from the bad stuff. How do we know that works? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'lotisu Olav Chet, Barim Chem Eschelbo Mimenu. Don't sin by separating the good stuff from it. Meaning, if you separate the good stuff, then you won't be sinning. But if you separate the bad stuff, then you will be sinning. Now, im enu kodesh nesias chet lama. Now, if I understand this correctly, so if separating the bad stuff doesn't actually count as truma, so then what sin is there? Meaning, if separating the bad stuff just doesn't count for anything, Well then you just have accomplished nothing. You're not sinning, you're not nothing. From the fact that you're sinning, meaning it sounds like you did it, you were Torahim, but you were Torahim improperly. So therefore, Mikan the Torah Minara, Aliyofa Shetrumaso Truma. So we see that somebody who separates from the bad stuff for the good stuff, and look, it's not a good thing to do, because you know you'd want to separate from the good stuff. But it works. Okay, fine. So I can understand why if you separate from the cold stuff for the warm stuff, okay. But ela afilu midfusim harbe, but I don't understand. Why would Rav Meir say that even when you have different breads from different molds that you have to be concerned that maybe they came from different Am Haaretz bakers, why is that okay? Lechu, shouldn't we be concerned? Duma asi lafrushim min achiyuv al aptur, min aptur al achiyuv. Maybe you'll separate from something that is chayiv from Maaser, but for something that is potter from Maaser, so really you didn't need to be separating. Or min aptur al achiyuv, or something that's potter for something that's chayiv, so you really are separating for something that doesn't need to be separated in the first place. So Amar Abaye, nu. So here, we're talking about bread, and separating it, right? So it's Maaser of Demai, right? So we're talking about Demai, we're talking about bread that you're going to eat, and we're saying that you could be lenient, Reb Meir is saying that you could be lenient when separating the Maaser from the bread. So what is the dilio? Shouldn't he be stringent? So Amar Abaye says, Abaye, Reb Elazar, Shapir, Kokashale. Where are we? Okay. So basically, where we are is we're a shtickle trying to figure out what the deal is with Reb Meir, right? Reb Elazar says, why is Reb Meir saying that you have to pay a chomesh for the Trumas Maaser of Demai? So Shmuel says, well, because Reb Meir says that, again, Reb Elazar says, why is Reb Meir saying you have to pay a chomesh if you accidentally eat Trumas Maaser of Demai, right? So Shmuel says, well, because Reb Meir says that by Dinim Derabanan, we treat them like the Oraisa and we're super strict. And he brought a proof from Gittin, where we say that the child is a mamzer if you don't say Pfanichtu Pfaninechtim. Then we asked the Kasha, what about the fact that by separating that when it comes to being Poda, Meister Sheni of Demai, so Reb Meir is lenient. He says you could be Mechalo from Kesef to Nechoshes. So Reb Yosef said, well, there's a difference between if you're going to eat it versus just, you know, being Mechalo. Okay. But then we asked the Kasha from the fact that when you're being Pode Meister Sheni to eat this bread from the baker, Reb Meir seems to be saying that you are lenient, this Meister Sheni of Demai. So, again, what's the deal? You know, why is Reb Meir being lenient when it comes to Meister Sheni of Demai, which is Derabanan? I thought Reb Meir should be strict. So, Amar Abaye, so says Abaye, Reb Elazar Shapir Kakashila. You know what? Reb Elazar's Kasha was Taka Ashtaka Kasha. Why does Reb Meir say that you have to add a Chomesh if you accidentally eat Meister Sheni, Chumas Meister of Demai? Where am I? Shapir Kakashli. Ushmur lo Shapir Komishani le. And Abai says that Shmuel's answer by saying, well, Reb Meir always treats the Rabbanans as stringently as the Oraisas, and that he brought a proof from Gittin, that wasn't really such a great answer. The kasha le Reb Elazar misa bidei shamayim mishana le Shmuel misa's bezdin, because Reb Elazar was asking about trumas meiser. Now trumas meiser is betzim as the status of truma. If you eat it intentionally, it's misa bidei shamayim. It's not misa bidei adam. Misa bidei adam is more stringent, right? If we'll actually, you know, capital punishment is more stringent than misa bidei shamayim. So, Reb Elazar asked Akasha that why is Reb Meir being stringent to add a chomesh by trumas meiser of demai, which is misa bidei adam, misa bidei shamayim, and then Shmuel says, well, Reb Meir treats the rabbanans like the oraisa, and then he brought a proof from Gittin, which is Eishes Ish, which is capital punishment, which is more stringent. Dilma, Shani, he says, Bezdin, Dechamira, maybe. You know, you could say, well, Shmuel, the reason why Reb Meir is being stringent by Gittin is because it's Misa Bidei Odom. It's capital punishment. It's more stringent. Maybe Reb Meir wouldn't be. Maybe Reb Meir wouldn't generally be more stringent when it comes to Truma, which is Misa Bidei Shamayim. Rev Sheshes, Lo Shapir Kamosivle. And Rev Sheshes wasn't really asking such a great kasha on Shmuel, the Ka'ami Inu Misa, because Shmuel was talking about, talked about Misa Bidei Adam, about capital punishment by Gittin. Or maybe even Rav Shapirka, where am I? Lo Shapirka Mosiv Le Dikamri Inu Misa, because they were talking about, I guess, even potentially Keilu, Rav Elazar and Shmuel were talking about Misa, whether it's Misa Bidei Shamayim or Misa Bidei Adam. Who Mosiv Rav Sheshes Lav. And Rav Sheshes is asking Akasha from Meister Sheni, which is just a Lav. Dichsiv Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecho. You can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. It's a Lav, but it's not Misa Bidei Shamayim, it's not Misa Bidei Adam. Well, my most of Sheshes is Rav Yosef Shapir Komishani. Where am I? Okay. Oh, okay, fine. So, where am I? Well, my most of Sheshes is now based on Rav Sheshes' kasha about Rav Meir's opinion when it comes to these derabbanans. Rav Yosef Shapir Komishani le. That Rav Yosef Taka gave a good answer, that there's a difference between when it's pidyon versus when you're talking about being mechalol versus when you're talking about eating. El Ravina, but Ravina, you asked the kasha from this baker. They said, well, this baker when we're talking about separating Meiser of Demai, and you're saying that Reb Meir is being lenient to say that that where they could separate from one bread onto the other, even though it's from a different mold. But the Ravina, the most of Minachtum, so, you know, you ask the kasha from this baker, but the Sayyid Levi Palter, why don't you bring a support from the sort of bread dealer? I guess he's more of like a bread wholesaler. That's not as we learn in the Mishnah. Halukech min apalter, somebody who buys from a bread wholesaler. Me'aser min kol defus udfus. You have to separate from each mold separately. Divrei Meir, that's Reb Meir's opinion. So we see it there that Reb Meir is being stringent, right? Meaning we're talking about an Amar, we're talking about Demai, and Reb Meir is being stringent. You have to separate from each mold separately. So then how do you resolve the difference between the baker and the bread wholesaler? Palter mitrei tlasa gavrei zavin, that this bread wholesaler is buying from different bakers, but nachtum nami michad gavra hu zavin. But a baker is generally just, you know, has one source where he's getting his bread, and therefore you can assume that all the molds are the same, and that is why. So Reb Meir isn't necessarily being lenient there. He's not being lenient there. He's just saying, practically speaking, they're all coming from the same place, and therefore, if either he separated Meiser or not, and you know, if he didn't separate Meiser, so you're separating now. If he did separate Meiser, okay, so it's not a big deal. But it's all coming from the same person. So basically, it sounds like up until now it's got kind of like all over the place. But it sounds like basically, okay, so potentially we could say that when it comes to capital punishment, so Reb Meir is stringent, like by get. But if it's not capital punishment, so then we don't know if Reb Meir would necessarily be stringent. But Rav Yosef had made this chilek between if you're going to be eating it or not. And if you're not going to be eating it, so then we said it could be lenient, like we saw by the Kesef and the Nechoshes. But if you are going to be eating it, so then you would be stringent. For example, if you eat Trumas Meiser of Demai, you would have to add a Chomesh. We also saw that by the the wholesaler and the balabayas, even if he's selling large quantities, he would still have to separate Meiser before selling it to somebody else because the person is going to be eating it. Oh my gosh, I feel like my brain's kind of turning off. This stuff, I guess, is just super detailed. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. But I'm all right. Okay. We're about to end this stuff anyways. Rava Amar Shmuel. So Rava said, Rava Amar says, Rava Shmuel Shapir Komishani Le Shemisa Ba'olam. Whereas Rava says, actually, I don't have a problem. Right? Abaye said, I don't like Shmuel's answer. Rava says, I actually don't have a problem with Shmuel's answer because after all, Trumas Meiser is Misa B'dei Shemaim. And Shmuel answered from Gin, which is Misa's Bezdin. At the end of the day, Misa is Misa. Right? We don't necessarily make a distinction between Misa Bidei Shemayim versus Misa's Bezdin, and therefore it is a good comparison to compare it to Gin. Wow. Okay, what time is it? Should I go and sell my chametz now? Thing is, I really do want to finish this. Maybe let me do this Mishnah. Okay, let's do this Mishnah and then I'll see what time is it, because I don't want to sit around. I think this is my third day in a row that I've been trying to sell my chametz. So I don't want to like interrupt Babylon Talmud and then the guy's not there or something. I don't know. These are the things that don't have ona'a. Okay, that there's no halacha of ona'a by the following things. Ha'avodim ve'ashtoris. Okay, so avodim. If you sell an Eved, there's no concept of Ona'a. Ve'ashtoris, and a document. So for example, I don't know, Shimon has a document that says that Reuven owes him $1,000. And then he sells that document, so i.e. the ability to collect it to somebody else. There's no din of Ona'a there. Ve'akarkos, and property. Ve'akideshos, right? Hektish, right? If the Gizbar is selling Hektish, or for example, if somebody had a Korban that he was Maktish, and then it got a Mum, so he's selling it to somebody else, there's no Ona'a. In loyim tashlumi kefel, if somebody steals them, there's no concept of kefel. Vel tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So by, I guess, if you're maktish an animal, and then somebody steals it, so there's no dalet vehei. Shomechinam enu nishba, a shomechinam would not have to swear that it was stolen. Venosei socher enu mishalim, and a shomer socher would not have to pay if they get stolen or lost. Reb Shimon Omer says, Reb Shimon, kochim shuchai b'achrayuson. So if it's like a neder that you chai b'achrayus, that if something happens to the animal, you have to bring a replacement. Yesh le'en ono. So I guess if it gets a mum and then you sell it, so then there would be a din of onav shenu chai b'achrayuson. But if it's a nidava that you said I'm going to be bring a korban and then it got a mum and you're selling it, ain lo'en ono. There's no din ona there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Rabbi Yehuda, afa mochis sefer Torah, behema, umargolis, if somebody sells a sefer Torah, or an animal, or a pearl, explain, the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Ein loem ona, there's no din ona. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru ela elu. He said, no, there is ona by sefer Torah, behema, and margolis. They only said that there's no ona by the things that they had said. Let's go weiter. I'm going to keep my eye on the clock. I think as long as I'm done in the next 20 minutes, I think I should be fine. And I think I might be able to be done in the next 20 minutes. Yeah, let me just try to finish up in the next 20 minutes. I think I should be able to. Says the Gemara, Minoan Emile. How do we know that these items in the Mishnah don't have ona? Ditana Rabbanan that the rabbis taught. Mechisimku mimkor la'amisecho. That if you sell something to your friend, okano miyad amitecha, or you purchase from the hand of your friend, davar anikna miyad liyad, something that is sold from hand to hand, yotzu karkos she'enon mitaltalim, so therefore to the exclusion of property. Property is not movable. You can't give it from one hand to the next. So somebody from one hand to somebody else's hand. Yotzu avodim shukshu l'karkos, to exclude avodim, because avodim are compared to karkos. So if karkos, or there's no ona, so neither avodim. Yatsu shtaris, dechsev v'chisim kru mimkar, shegufo macher, v'gufo konui. Right, to exclusion of documents, because as v'chisim kru mimkar, right, it itself is what's being sold, as opposed to a document that it's not the document itself which is being purchased, it's really what can be collected from the document. Yatsu shtaris, shen gufon macher, v'en gufon konui. To exclusion of a document that it's not the document itself that is sold and bought. It's really the ability, what you can collect with it, the value of it that is bought and sold. Then an omdin elaraya sheboy, right? And it's really just there for a proof to be able to collect with it later. Mikanomu, from here, they said, hamochesh tarosav lebasim. If somebody sells a document, an old document to a perfume monger, so that he has like some paper to kind of, I guess, put the spices in. Yishleim ona, so then there is ona, because you're selling the actual, because then the document is the actual thing that you're selling. You're selling for scrap paper. Pshita, okay, isn't that obvious that if you're selling these documents for actual scrap paper and they are the thing being sold, so then of course there's ona. Well, afukim de Rav Kahana, to the exclusion of Rav Kahana, the Amar, ain ona the frutas. Rav Kahana said that, well, there's no din ona for very minor amounts like prutas, and when you sell an unneeded document to somebody, to a spice monger to, you know, wrap spices in, so that's, we're talking about pennies over here. So therefore, it's going to be So and even so, we're saying that there's a din ona, unlike Rav Kahana, who says that there's no din ona for prutas. Oh my God, I'm like totally losing it. I don't know why. I'm like not that tired, but I'm like, my brain is like, I'm done. Kamash milan yesh ona lefrutas, that there is ona when it comes to these minor amounts, and therefore, if you sell the document, you know, as the, you know, to use for wrapping spices, then there would be ona. Hekdeshos. When it comes to hektish, there's no ona, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, achiv lo hektish. Right? If you're selling or buying, you know, to or from your brother, and not hektish. Maskev lo rabba bar mamel. Rabba mamel asakash golecha, dechsiv yado mamishu. What, just because it says yado, it means something from hand to hand? Right, every place where it says yad, it means hand, literally. It says that Sichon took his land from Moab's land from him. So, what do you mean? What was he holding his land in his hand? So the Mirishuso, no, it means from his prop, from his possession. So let's say the same thing over here by Ona, that it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be metalton, something that can be moved from hand to hand. Maybe it just means from his anything that can be in your possession. But then the Gemara pushes back and says, wait, when it says Yad, it generally does mean literally. After all, we learn in the Brisa, when it says by theft, it says if it will be found in his hand, and when it says Yado, all I know is his hand. How do I know that even if he steals on his roof or his chotzer or his courtyard or his enclosure, minayin, how do we know that would also be a theft? And it's not just his hand. It says, well, if it will surely be found, you know, however it's found, even in his gagul chatzer v'karpefu. Time the chotzer v'achmona mimatzit timase. So the only reason why we know to include things other than your hand is because of himatze timatze. Halava, but if not for himatze timatze, ava amina, kolechid dechasav yado yado mamishu. If not for himatze timatze, I would have assumed that, yeah, when it says yad, it literally means hand. Visu, and more so, tani we learn in the Bais, v'nasan biyado, it says by gittin, and you'll put it in her hand. In the elo yado, all I know is her hand. Gag v'chatzer v'kapef minay. How do I know that even if you put it in her on her roof or her chotzer or her karpap, how do I know that also works for gittin? Tam lomer v'nosan, mikol makom, wherever you place it. So tam the cause of Rachman v'nosan. So, okay, that we only know to include things other than her hand because it says v'nosan. Halav achi, but if not so, have a minikol echid the chos of yado, yado mamish. Otherwise, I would have thought that yado means literally her hand. Elikol yado, yado mamishu. So rather, actually, yado does mean hand literally, v'shani osim deleka lememar hochi elemer shuso. But by Sichon, so there, yeah, obviously it means that he couldn't be holding his land in his hand. So then, yeah, it means his possession. But generally, yado would mean hand, and here also by Unoa it means metalton, something that can be moved from hand to hand. By Reb Zera asks a kasha, schirus yesh to Unoa ein lo Unoa. Interesting kasha. If you're renting something, could there be a concept of overcharging by rentals? Mimkar am rachmana, avalos schirus. Does the Torah is it right? V'chisimkru mimkar. Maybe that means like a full blown sale, not a rental. Odim aloshna. Maybe it makes no difference. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says to observe miksiv mimkar leolam. Mimkar stam miksiv. It doesn't say that it has to be a final sale. It just says any kind of sale. V'ainami biyomei mechirei. And a rental is like a temporary sale. And you know, during the course of the rental, it's considered sold during that time. Okay, Chevet, from now to the end of the daf, and I think, yeah, I'll be able to, what time is it? Yeah, I'm doing good on time. Hopefully I'll be able to sell my chametz. And from here to the end of the daf, it's basically a teku gemara, so you've been informed. By Rava Asakasha, chitin vizaren bekarka mau. If you take wheat and you plant them in the ground, now what? Yeshlem ona, is there a din ona'a? Because they're considered like metaltalin. Like you just, okay, I mean, you take some wheat, so it's metaltalin, you put it in the ground. Is it still considered metaltalin? Oh, ein lem ona. Or is there no ona? Because they're like karka, now they're in the ground. Kemadashadin bechada damyin. Is it no different than if you would take the wheat and put it in like a vessel, and instead of putting it in a vessel, you just put it in the ground? Vyeshlem ona, and there is ona, uduma, but linu al gav ara. Or maybe once you put them into the ground, they're bottled to the ground, and they're considered like the ground. There's no din ona. So what's the deal? Well, if he said, I put, I guess like somebody who's meant to plant, I guess, six, I don't know, things of, I don't know, kilos of wheat in the ground, I guess. And but then witnesses came and said he only put five in there. Well, when it comes to something measurable, for example, he said like 6 kilos and it was 5 kilos. Well, even if it was less than ona, it's simply a mekach tos, right? It's kilo, meaning he's lying. He's claiming one thing but doing something else. I mean, that has nothing to do with ona. That just has to do with being dishonest. V'glay milsa de lo shada ba kedi ba'ila. Rather, he says, look, I planted the field as it was meant to be planted, and it turns out that he didn't plant that much. So now, yesh lem ono, ein lem ono. So do we say, well, you know, how much was he kind of underplanting by, and is there a din ono? Do we say, k'man d'shadi v'chada damyon v'yesh lem ono? Do we say that it's like, he put it in a vessel, and therefore there is a din ono, like metatlin o dilma, but lino agav ara, or maybe it's like, maybe it's bottled to the land, and it's in land there's no din ono. Another kasha, nishboin alein o ein nishboin alein. Right? Would there be a shvuas moda b'miktsas? Right? For example, if one guy says you were supposed to plant six, and he says no, I was only supposed to plant moda b'miktsas? You go and shetano posakti imi lizu avav shemazaitul chav zoraita chomesh. That if the guy says, look, you were supposed to plant six, but you only plant five, and he says no, I planted five and a half. Right, so it's motiv miktsas. So command the shadin b'chadid daman v'nishboin alein. So again, do we treat it like it's metaltlin and there would be a shvua odilma, but lino agav aro, or maybe it's bottled to the ground v'ein nishboin alein and there wouldn't be a shvua omer matiron or in omer matiron. Once you put it in the ground, comes the omer. Right, it's about to be Pesach. Or I think when this daf goes live, it'll already be Pesach and svirsa omer and. So when the omer is brought, that allows the new grain to be consumed. So when you put this grain in the ground, would the omer be matur to be eaten or not? Hey chidami, what's the scenario? Either ashush tanino, either lo ashush tanino. Well, if it's already taken root, well, we have a mishnah about that. And if it hasn't yet taken root, we have a mishnah about that. The tananas we learned in the mishnah mishrishu kodem lo omer. If it already took root before the omer was offered. So then, Omer Matirin. The Omer allows them to then be eaten that year. Vimlav asur nachi of Omer Abba. And if they hadn't yet taken root, so then you have to wait till the next year, the next Omer. Lo tzricha dechatz dinu vizar inu kodem lo Omer. Well, no, it's talking about you had harvested the wheat from this year, so the Omer would be matir any harvested, you know, wheat, and then but then. You put them back in the ground. So the question is, when the omer is offered, well, the omer is matir all of the wheat that was harvested that year, but you then put it back in the ground. So now what? How do we treat it? So v'asa le omer v'chalef ilavayu v'lo ashrus kodem lo omer. Right now, the omer is offered, and this wheat that you had already harvested that year and then put back in the ground haven't yet taken root. So ma'u l'minka tu mecho minayu, can you then take them out and eat them? So do we say command the shadim b'chadidami visharinu omer? Do we say that it's just like you put it in the same way? You know, you could have put it in a vessel, but instead you put it in the ground. But you know, if they were in a vessel, the omer would be matir them. So here also the omer is matir them, and you can eat them. Odilma, but lino agavar, or maybe it's bottled to the ground, then you can't eat them because you know now they're back in the ground and they haven't yet taken root, so the omer is not going to work for a taker. We say ich veis nicht. That was daf nun vav. Hope you enjoyed. Peace out.